Thank you for our study tonight. We thank you for the anointing that's within us. We thank you that anointing teaches us to abide in Christ. And Lord, we yield to that anointing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, I want to look at a couple of verses that we've looked at before, verses 11 and 12. I want you to write this title down before we look at those verses. We're talking tonight about the receiving phase. We've been in a long series, a series entitled Developing Strong Faith. Tonight is session number 8. This is our 8th and final session, and it's entitled The Receiving Phase. If you would look at that handout that we've given you, notice that it divides the walk of faith into three phases. Now, I certainly don't have time to go back and rehearse all of that. The tapes are in the foyer, and if you'd like any of the sessions, they are there. But just quickly, look at Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3 on your handout. We've talked about the claiming phase. We've talked about the waiting phase, and we've broken different steps down within this, basically a study out of 2 Peter chapter 1. And then at the very bottom, you'll see phase number 3. Hallelujah. Everybody say the phase number 3. Phase number 3, the receiving phase. Somebody say amen. You know, we've been in the waiting phase for too many sessions. When are we going to get to the receiving phase? Well, we're here tonight. All right, Hebrews 6, look at verse 11. I believe these two verses summarize those three phases I just went over with you. And we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence, underline the word diligence if you didn't mark it previously, to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who? Well, all the heroes of faith, all the ones who pressed in and got what God had for them. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through... Now, notice these three steps. Step number one, who through faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Now, notice that is what I would call the claiming phase. So when you release your faith for anything that you're believing for, you begin to see it, say it, do it. Remember, we talked about that. See it, say it, do it. But I wish that was just the end of the story, don't you? I wish there was an instantaneous answer. It says, but who through faith and, underline this word, patience. Everyone say patience. Now, there's Roman numeral 2 in a nutshell. That is the waiting phase, where most often there's a time delay between the asking and receiving. And the reason we spend more of our time on the waiting phase, quite honestly, is because that's where most people fall out of the race. You know, most people don't have a hard time. Once they get hold of the idea of the receiving phase, they're ready to go. They're good to go. But it's during the waiting period that so often we begin to waver. We begin to question, wonder if it's going to happen. And he says, who through faith and patience, and here's phase number 3, hallelujah, inherit the promises. So you receive that which you're believing for. So there's faith, that's the claiming phase, there's patience, the waiting phase, and then you come to this final one. Now, I'm shifting gears. I want to give you three main pillars of your faith. Before we specifically look at the receiving phase and give you some handles to that, I want to give you what I call three main pillars of your faith. Now, do you know what a pillar is? A pillar is, you go to a big home and maybe the front porch is held up with huge pillars. Or you've seen on TV, if you've not been there in person in Washington, you know, you go in the legislative building, there's these huge pillars outside that are support structures. So your faith, now I want you to picture this, your faith that you live in, you're supposed to live in faith, is held up by certain support structures. Number one, the first pillar of your faith is your inheritance in Christ. You must understand that you have an inheritance in Christ. That's a pillar of your faith. It's hard to have faith in something if you don't know it belongs to you. Hello, are you there? And so you must understand your inheritance in Christ. Write this reference down. We won't turn there, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12 says, and I'll paraphrase it, thanks be to God who has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And so, you know, we were spiritually bankrupt, weren't we? I mean, before we came to Jesus, we didn't really know it when we were lost as a goose, you know. But we were spiritually bankrupt. And then when we had faith in Jesus, not only was there the salvation from our sins and the forgiveness of our sins. How many of you know that would have been enough? Honey, that would have been enough right there to go to the bank on. But that was just the entry point. All of a sudden we come in and we find out, wow, there's more than just forgiveness. There's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. There's the gifts of the Spirit. There's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my need. We begin to, wow, there is a vast inheritance that we have. But you know what? If you don't know about your inheritance, you can't have your faith resting on it. Huh? All right, number two, the second pillar that's going to hold up your faith structure, write this one down, is the integrity of God's Word. You've got to have a revelation of the integrity of God's Word. Now, I do want to take a moment and look at this one. Go with me to Psalm 56. I mean, there's many references we could go to, but here's the one I've chosen to go to. Go with me to Psalm 56 in your Bible and mark these verses. These verses tell us that we can trust in God's Word. Psalm 56, the integrity of God's Word. You know, I went to theology school, and I even went to a charismatic-oriented theology school. And I am telling you, it was so academic. Literally, when I came out of there, I had more questions than I had assurances. Because they forced us to study German theologians, and they forced us to study the doctrines of the different movements, whether it be the Methodist movement or the Episcopal movement or the Lutheran movement. And we studied all these views. And really, I came out of theology school, and I remember one night we were praying for somebody who was sick. And I can remember, before I went into theology school, I would pray that God would heal them. And then when I laid hands on them, this is sad, isn't it? After theology school, I was like, well, I really don't know if God wants to heal this booger or not, because who knows what his lifestyle is like. And I had so many questions, and it took me a while to get my mind cleared of man's ideas and get back to the simplicity of, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Are you out there? If God said it, I believe it, and that's going to settle it. Simplicity. Psalm 56, look at this, verse 3. What time I am afraid. Now, I know that applies to no one in this auditorium. I know you never get afraid because you guys are, you've arrived. You're pretty well perfected at this point. I understand that. Our visitors, you know I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek there, I hope. Verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in God. Now, you know, that's simple to say. We say that to people. Trust in who? And then they'll turn around and say, well, how do I do that? How do I trust in God? The next verse tells you how to trust God. It says, in God I will praise His what? Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And I want you to write this down underneath this point of the integrity of God's Word. The only way you can trust God is trust His Word. Write that down. The only way you can trust God is to trust His Word. And so if I doubt His Word, then I'm doubting God Himself. Hallelujah. So if the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. Come on. I said, if the Bible says, and it does, by His stripes you were healed. Past tense. Now, I may not understand that. I may not make the connection why I'm still fighting sickness in my body. I may not understand all that there is to it. Maybe that God will reveal something in my life that needs to be straightened out. Maybe not. I mean, it does say in James that let him confess his sins one to another that he may be healed. That could be a cause, not always. Maybe I'm just running myself too hard. I mean, there's a lot of factors. But what I have to go with is God's bottom line will is that I be healed. Now, I'll take whatever the doctors can do for me. I'll take whatever medicine can do for me. But I'm not going to limit it to the natural. I want to go with what God says. By His stripes, I am believing to be healed. Amen. And so you begin to have faith in the Bible. The Bible promises connect you to God. So number one, you got to understand your inheritance in Christ. Number two, you have to understand the integrity of God's Word. By the way, go to verse 10 before we leave this. Same Psalm, Psalm 56, verse 10. In God will I praise His Word. Everybody say Word. In the Lord will I praise His what? Word. In God I have put my trust. Do you see how the psalmist said the way you trust God is you trust His Word. You trust His Word, you trust God. They are interchangeable. Verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. The third pillar of your faith, The third pillar of your faith is the voice and the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The voice and the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. We won't turn there, but I'll give you a reference. Many of you can quote this. St. John 16, verses 13 through 15. St. John 16, verses 13 through 15. Basically, I'll paraphrase it. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but He will speak. And what will He speak? He will show you what I am trying to show you. He will come and tell you what I want you to do. That's a paraphrase of that. Now, put a star by number 3 because I want to qualify this. This one's a little trickier. This requires you to grow in the Lord. Because not everything that you think you've heard from God is really from God. I have heard some of the most squirrely things that people have said. The Lord told me to do this and that. And I'm standing there looking at them eyeball to eyeball, and I'm sitting there thinking of verses that contradict the very thing that they said God told them to do. And God is not in the habit of contradicting Himself. In fact, He don't do it. And so if somebody tells me, God told me to do this, and the Word of God goes to the contrary, I need to go with what the Bible says. I don't care how many thus says the Lord, how many Jehovah Jireh's, how many Shondai's they throw in front of it, ain't going to go with it if it contradicts the Word of God. Somebody say amen. You say, well, how can I grow in the voice? First, you must focus on 1 and 2. Look in your notes. You must focus on understanding what your inheritance is and understanding the Bible. The more you do that, the more you will become attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like an algebra. Let me take you back, some of you older ones, to algebra class. You said, I've blocked it from my memory. I've been healed of that class. Hallelujah. But you remember in algebra, they tell you the way to solve the unknowns is you must work with the knowns. So maybe right now the voice of the Holy Spirit is a whole new concept to you, or the witness of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not sure how what that means in my life. We'll work with the knowns. We know about the inheritance in Christ. We know what the Word says. And once you work with those two, that will lead you to this other thing that right now is an unknown. And you'll solve it. And you'll begin to walk with the voice and the assurance of the Holy Spirit. Did you like that? The pillars of your faith. Your faith rests on those three pillars. Again, I'm transitioning. Draw maybe a line across your notes there. I want to talk about the receiving phase for the rest of our time together. And I want you to write some of these thoughts down. And then I'm going to put some things up on the overhead for you to copy down. The receiving phase. There is an art. I want you to write this thought down because this is the bottom line of everything I want to share tonight. There is an art to receiving miracles. I will tell you that's the truth. There is an art to receiving miracles. I'm going to try to just give you some analogies, and every analogy pales in light of what God desires to bring us into, but I'm trying to get the idea across. Could I use the football receiver? The football receiver is a person who is trained to get in position to catch the... This is not a trick question. Catch the football. So when the pass is thrown, if the receiver is not in position, the ball will be thrown into that area or zone and he won't be there. Or he could be there and the ball is thrown, but he is not ready. Everybody say, not ready. He is not ready. He is distracted. He's waving at his favorite cheerleader. He's waving at mom in the camera. You know, who knows what he's doing, but he's not ready. The guy's been, you know, saying things to him. You know, bugging him on the line. Tell him how slow he is. Tell him how ugly he is. Tell him, you got bad breath today, Bob. Bumping him as he comes off the line. I don't know. The guy's distracted, and he runs down, and you see it every football season. The ball is perfectly thrown. I mean, the quarterback has done his job. The guy turns around, and it hits him right in the chest. He wasn't ready, and it's an incomplete pass. Are you getting anything spiritual out of this? Amen. You are expected, as a believer, to get in position for your miracle. You are expected to run and not become distracted. You are expected to expect the pass, and when it comes, be ready and reach out and catch the ball. Now, I have an invisible miracle ball in my hand. Quarterback Jason is getting ready to throw you the ball. One, two, what are you going to do? Three. Some of you just got hit right between the eyes. You just looked at me like a new calf born. You need to get ready on the count of three. I know it seems silly to your flesh. I want you to reach up and catch your ball. Hey, this could be the house you're believing for. This could be. Oh, hands are going up. Hands are going up. Ready? One, two, three. Here it comes. Oh, that was a little bit better. I'll tell you, a little more cooperation there in faith. So let me give you the football example. Number two, let me give you, take you back to your childhood, the ice cream truck example. Now, I can remember when I lived on Alverson Court. Boy, this takes me back when I was riding a tricycle, really. I can remember on Alverson Court, we lived on a circle, and this ice cream truck would come daily during the summer. And I knew precisely when that ice cream truck would come. I could hear the bell in the neighborhood next door. And I would be in there, Mama, oh, Mom, please, Mom, I've got to have a push-up. I want one of those sherbet push-ups. That was my favorite thing. I wanted one of those sherbet push-ups. Well, you just had one yesterday. Oh, Mom, please, I'll do anything. I love you, Mom, please give me that. And so I would be getting in position before the ice cream truck got to the neighborhood. Are you getting this? I would get my money, and then I would go out there expecting. Now, I did not do this. Everybody say not. I didn't stand there with this mealy-mouthed look on my face, this bored look, and then just watch the truck go by. I was there wiggling. I was there doing my little dance. I was there like, yeah, I'm here. You're there. You haven't sold out of push-ups, have you? You get anything out of this? And he would stop, as if he didn't know, what do you have today? A push-up, push-up. I'd get that, and I'd tear the little piece of paper off the top. Can't you see those things now? They came in little cardboard things, you know. And you push that deal up. I'd start licking that, and I would just, oh, I'd be so happy until I ran out, and then I'd be believing for the next day he would be coming by. You get anything out of that? You get in position. You get ready. You chase the guy down. There are a few times that I was late. He had already gone half around the circle. So, I didn't have to wait and hear God to cut across and cut him off at the pass. I just somehow knew that innately. I would cut across the circle to catch him so I would not miss my miracle. Hallelujah. Go with me to Mark chapter 2. Now, I know some of you think, well, that sounds really silly, but maybe there's an idea of getting in position in the Bible. Let me tell you go back and read the stories of miracles. We're going to look at just one. And I really wish I had time to develop this. Sometime I'm going to take this story and develop it like I have in the past, and there's a lot of humor in it. But you think about the woman who pressed through to touch the hem of his garment. Huh? Well, hey, wasn't she getting in position for a miracle? Come on. You think about the centurion that came and begged Jesus. He said, would you come and pray for my servant? He's nigh unto death. I mean, people that are making an effort to connect up with Jesus, not just passivity. And that's what I want to try to help you identify. If there's any passivity in your life regarding miracles, you're not going to have very many miracles. Because faith is action. Notice this, chapter 2, verse 1. I'm in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And if you do some research, probably it was Peter's house. Okay? Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the what? He preached the what? Say it, he preached the what? So, you know, God honors his word. Jesus knew that, so Jesus was preaching the word to them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. This guy was paralyzed, and he was born of four. Now, let me just tell you this. A paralyzed person, and I'm not trying to be cute when I say this, they ain't going to go anywhere unless somebody has a mind to help them. Are you hearing me? So these four people that were carrying this paralyzed individual were the four best friends this guy could possibly have. because we don't know how far they came. We don't know how much the guy weighed. Come on, be practical. He didn't just levitate, you know, across the countryside. They had to carry him up and down the hills and get him there. So there's some effort. There's some positioning. That's what I want you to see. There's some getting into position for the miracle. Now, most of us are too easy to give up. Isn't that true? You know, we put ourselves in a little bit of position, and, you know, about the furthest most people go is, okay, I'll work up enough confidence and I'll go stand in the prayer line. And you stand in the prayer line, and here's the guy coming, yah, yah, yah. He's coming down the line, you know, yah, yah. And you're waiting for the thus saith the Lord. And he just, you know, lingers on one, just hits you and moves right on. And you're just like, you know, I ain't getting my offerings worth here, you know. I mean, I did put in $10. I get more than a little like that. And we don't comprehend that there's a whole lot more to it than hoping the preacher pauses over you and says something. You've got to learn to have your own faith, your own perseverance, and get in position yourself. Now, you business people, I want you to take note of this. God expects you not only to pray, not only to have faith, but you got to do your part to get in position for the business deal. Do your part to find the house you're believing for. Do your part to purchase the building next door. We are in cooperation with God. Look at the top of your handout. It says partnership. Doesn't it say partnership? Is the word partnership on there? I don't have a handout in front of me. Is it on there? Am I remembering correctly? Partnership. Everybody say partnership. That is where God has His part and we have our part. Now, look at the faith of these guys. Verse 4. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they picked up the man and went home. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, that was the perverted paraphrase. Let me read the right one here. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they dropped him and left him there. And said, I ain't carrying this guy another step. You're getting the point. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it down, they let him down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Now, in one verse, there's a whole lot of action. Just kind of skipped over. First of all, they come with the guy to the door. Can't even get close to the door. There's a crowd. Now, how many of you know that a lot of guys would have just given up right there and just said, you know, this isn't a good night. It's a sold-out crowd. We'll come back tomorrow. One of the guys, we don't know, it could have been all of them. One of the guys was the creative one. He said, we ain't giving up. No, we're not taking no roof. Roof. Look at that roof. That's not too high. I don't know what the guy's name was. Fred. I mean, you know, I'm sure it wasn't Fred, but, you know, Fred's not, we could get Fred up there. Now, you don't just stand a paralyzed guy up like that. You got to tie Fred to the bed. So there's some position, there's some effort. They put Fred up on the side of the roof. Well, I don't have to be told everything. Common sense tells me some things. Somebody had to get on the roof. So probably two on the roof, two on the ground. And Fred, I don't know if he wanted to go up on the roof or not. That would have embarrassed some people. Maybe Fred was pleading every step of the way, please don't do this to me. And as he goes by the window, Peter's in there, you know, and we know this from the Bible, Peter was married. And so Mrs. Peter, she's having a hard time already with, you know how, come on ladies, you know, it's like, she's already thinking ahead. Man, this is going to take me all night to clean up after this crowd. We've already served fish hors d'oeuvres and, you know, we've done all of this. And Jesus, you know, he's long-winded sometimes. He prays for everybody in the house. And so she's already thinking, man, it's 3:00 before I'm out of here. And it's just like the last straw when she sees a guy going by the window. And Fred's just kind of, now he's paralyzed, so he just kind of smiles. And she's like, you know, I've had it. I have had it. And she probably looked at Peter as only a wife can do with that look like, get them off the roof. Do you see any positioning? Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you see any effort? Somebody say amen. Amen. It says they uncovered the roof. Now, I read one commentary that says, in those days, there were trap doors in the roof. Well, they didn't read the rest of the verse. It says, when they had broke it up, you don't break up trap doors. They ripped off the roof. Now, I'm not trying to be cute, but I'm exhorting you. Some of you need to have a little more roof-ripping faith. Well, if it be with the Lord's will, it'll just come. You need to get up on the roof sometimes and rip the roof off. Now, there's always one in the bunch that's too spiritual. That's the truth. Well, this is private property now. We shouldn't tear the roof up. Hallelujah. I remember our first crusade. I'm going to get off the subject here, but that's a good story. I remember our first crusade. We were trying to put this banner up, and the wind caught the banner. And there was a flatbed truck, and this guy had his hand around the post. And as the post came up and the wind caught that banner, his hand got between the flatbed truck and the post. And you could just hear his fingers going... And he was only going, oh, oh, oh. Now, this was really spiritual preparation for me preaching salvation to the lost, you know. We couldn't get his hand out. I mean, we had guys going like this, you know, trying. And the guy's like, get my hand out. And there's always, let's pray that his fingers be healed. I said, we don't got time. Send him to the hospital. Hallelujah. I caught flack over that one, but you know, I'm trying to do a crusade, not pray for the guy who broke his finger, you know, trying to get the banner up. All right, praise God. Verse 5, look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Now wait a minute. You don't see faith. No, you don't see faith. No. You see faith in action. I mean, you can tell me you have faith, but I can't really see your faith unless I see something. Amen. So, I'm driving this point home that you need to let the Holy Spirit show you when you need to press through and get the miracle from God. I want to put these steps up here, and you're going to do a lot of copying, so get ready to write really fast because we can cover more that way. I encourage you to write these steps down. That'll help you. Keys. Better if it's right side up, isn't it? Yes, we believe in tongues and interpretation here. All of our visitors are going, wow. Now, I know you can't see this fully in the back, but let me have that piece of paper right there. Cover the rest of these up. Just go one at a time. The first thing I want to remind you on the receiving phase that's going to help you is to identify your goal and commit it to prayer. Find out if it's God's will. You know, a lot of people, they're praying over stuff that God really may not want them to have. And you're just kind of spinning your wheels there. So in our teaching on faith, and I've said this before, but for the sake of our visitors tonight and others that maybe have missed the previous sessions, we are not teaching everything you have a whim to have is God's will. I mean, that doesn't mean you're supposed to go out and start claiming pink Cadillacs. You know, that gets into the realm of foolishness and presumption. So the first thing, if you want to get over to the receiving phase that I think is going to help you, is to identify your goal, commit it to prayer, find out if it's God's will. Psalm 37 verses 4 through 9 talks about committing your desires to the Lord and He'll bring them to pass. Now, when we do commit our desires to the Lord, how many know there's been times where the Lord said, no, you can't have that desire. I don't want you to have that desire. I know one time, I was talking with a guy today, I know one time I had an offer to go with a group and be a success motivational speaker. And, you know, got paid a lot of money to do a few of those, and they were wanting me to get sucked into that. Well, that might be God's will for somebody, but as I prayed, it wasn't God's will for me. And so we are submitting to the authority of Jesus. He is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I said He is Lord, and we are the servants. So identify your goal, commit it to prayer, find out if it's God's will. Number two, ask God for a plan of action. What can you do to cooperate with God? Ask God for a plan of action. What can you do to cooperate with God? So if you get the okay on it, or there may be times where the desire is just tweaked a little bit. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, well, it's okay for you to have a house, but not where, you know, not at the beach. I want you to live in Atlanta. Oh, please, Lord, I want to live at the beach and I could be a commuting pastor. Mm-hmm. Everybody go, There's some guys that are like that. It's like, you know, I love the people while I'm at the beach. We're going to love the people while we're here and be available. Ask God for a plan of action. What can you do to cooperate with God? So, once God says, yes, I want you to own a home, then some things you don't even have to pray about. Start looking. Determine your budget. What can you afford? Get a plan of action and start moving forward. That's going to help you get over to the receiving phase. The third one I want to give you is do something to release your faith. Get started. Do something to release your faith. Get started. A lot of people, once they pray, they have a desire, they've submitted it to the Lord, the Lord's come in and adjusted it. Or some things we know are God's will right off because it's according to the Word. So some things, it doesn't take a whole lot of prayer, it just takes some Bible study. And we know that it's God's will that way. Back to the pillars of your faith. But at some point, you have to do something to release your faith, get started. You know what I mean by release your faith? They picked the guy up and they headed towards the meeting. They got to the meeting, they went on the roof. Got on the roof, hey, there's no trap door like the commentary said. What are we going to do? We're going to rip the roof off. So we start ripping the roof off. Remember, you must put some kind of seed in the ground if you want to reap a harvest. So number one, identify your goal, commit it to prayer, find out if it's God's will. Number two, ask God for a plan of action. What can you do to cooperate with God? Number three, do something to release your faith. Get started. Remember, you must put some kind of seed in the ground if you want to reap a harvest. If you want to reap a harvest. That's Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Number four, are you getting something out of these keys? Number four, realize that God alone is your source of supply. Boy, that's a big one. That's easier said than done, I will tell you that. Realize that God alone is your source of supply, but He will most likely work through people to get the answer to you. Now, I'll tell you, it was a calendar red letter day in my life when I got that thinking straight. That whenever God has told me to go for something, He's going to be my source. Take the building next door that we're involved in now. You know, buying this property right on the other side of that wall. When it became available, we had no money. Everybody say, no money. No money. Anybody in here ever had a little desire but just one little problem? No money? Maybe it's just me. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, it's either now or never. Somebody's going to get that space. That space on that side is already taken. So, you know, I would like to grow as big as we could here before we have to move again. And so the more I prayed about it, the more the desire, the more I went to the Lord about it, I felt like the Lord was saying, go for it. But my mind was going tilt, tilt, tilt. One little problem, ain't no money. Everybody say, no money.
No money.
Everybody say, no problem. Well, how can you say no problem? Because God's your source.
Amen.
Which means, and here's where people get confused. Well, if God's my source, then I guess I don't have to consult with flesh and blood, tell anybody this, that, and the other. And they get mixed up. No. It says in Luke 6:38, that's the reference I've given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall it be given unto you through men. It says, shall men give unto you. Write this down. God is my source. People are only channels. God is my source. People are only channels that God can use. Now, I'll tell you how that set me free. When the guy said, I went and talked to him. I said, well, we'd like to have that property next door. He goes, well, okay, it's $377,000. And I'm sitting there thinking in my mind, you know, we've just gotten into this side over here and thankful for it. And I just needed an idea. Everybody say an idea.
Idea.
Honey, write this down. You're only one idea away from a miracle.
Lord.
You're only an idea away from a miracle. See, we tend to think inside the box. God says, think outside the box.
Idea.
Most of us, our box has a dollar sign on it. And God says, why don't you look at me? I'm your source. I prayed and the Lord told me, He said, you go and ask the guy this. And this is what I said to him. I said, Ray, we'd really like to have that property next door, but we don't got $377,000. I said, but would you give us 1 year? Would you give us a year? Could we tie up that property and you give us a year to pay, same as cash, no interest? And he was like, ooh, preacher, you're pushing a hard bargain there. No interest. He said, what do you think? I'm a bank? I said, well, that's what we could do. He said, I have to call my brother in California because he's one of the partners in this deal. He did. He came back and said, well, we're going to do it. That year has turned, as most of you know, we haven't had an extension. It's going to be about 16 months that they've worked with us. And what does the bulletin say? We're at, what, $260,000 in cash that we've got. I think God has done an absolute miracle. But it was just an idea, one idea away. Now, again, those of you that have been with us through this process, I don't get up every Sunday and even mention the building. We don't believe in high pressure. We don't believe in twisting arms, beating up on people about it. We do believe in sharing the vision. But you know what? You're not the source. God's the source. So God can work through the congregation, which He has in a very mighty way. God has worked through our radio partners. God has worked through our newsletters that we send out. I mean, God's got practical ways He's going to get it to you. It's not just going to rain out of the sky. But I don't have to be fixated on Laura Wallace or Dave Meadows and, you let me down and so I'm mad at you. Why didn't you do better? When people get into that, that's a sure sign that their eyes are off of God and on the people. I got to keep my eyes on God, realizing He will work through people, but my eyes must stay on the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know if Laura had it, she would have written that check. Amen. She would have been the first one to write that $377,000 check. Praise God. You spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. All right, number five. I've got a minister friend that every time he receives his offering, he goes, you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. He said, million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N, trillion, J-E-S-U-S. He does that every time. Number five, the fifth thing that will help you, be alert and watchful for opportunities that will come your way. Look for your miracle. Honey, write that one down. That is so important for you to get. You've got to be alert and watchful for opportunities that will come your way. Look for your miracle. So often what happens is we pray and then people get into that passivity mode. They get into that mode where they get there and there's no room to get in, and so they drop Fred at the door and they just like, well, hey Fred, there's no room. No, not so much as about the door. And we don't believe there's a trap door on the roof like the commentary said. So we don't know. I don't know why I'm stuck on that. We don't know what we're going to do, Fred. No, honey, they were looking for opportunities. Somebody thought about the roof and they jumped up on the roof. Colossians 4:2, by the way, says pray and watch. It says to pray and watch. And what are you watching for? A miracle. Everybody say a miracle. That brings to my mind, do you remember when they were praying for Peter? Does anybody remember that in the book of Acts? They were praying for Peter. Oh, God, deliver Peter. Oh, God, set Peter free. Do you remember Peter knocking at the door? Remember that story? Hey, I'm here. They said they thought it was his ghost. And that's the way we are. We get so spooky, so goofy. It's not the ghost, it's Peter. Go let him in. We can't let him in. We're praying for him to be released. He's at the door. Prayer time is over. Number six, put a star by this one. This will help you immensely. Start praying what I call thank you Jesus prayers while you wait for the manifestation of your miracle. Start praying what I call thank you Jesus prayers while you wait for the manifestation of your miracle. You know, there comes a point where you either believe that God heard you or you don't. So once you have a conviction in your heart that you have prayed in faith, and that may take you four or five times to get there. Some people say just pray once. Well, I say you just need to pray once in faith, but sometimes it takes me a whole lot of praying to pray once in faith. But once I know I've prayed in faith, at that point I'm not going to keep asking the Father for it. I'm going to thank the Father for it. Do you see how that shifts me from a begging mode over into a confidence faith mode? Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Honey, there's a million ways that you can say, thank you, Jesus. And one of the things you need to do all through the day is just, thank you, Jesus. You know what I've been doing for 15 months? Oh, God, please give us the building next door. Begging you, God. I'll be a missionary. Well, no, cancel that. That's too hard. I'll... Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
All
these doubts come to me. Look at the size of your congregation. Now look at the size of the bill. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Not feeling too good. Oh, please, God, please. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I remember I got in a wreck in Enid, Oklahoma. I wasn't driving, but I almost got run over by a truck. I was sitting in something that was smaller than a Yugo. I don't know what that deal was. My suitcase was bigger than that truck. Little thing. This guy rear-ended us. I barely got out alive. First thing I said when I stumbled out of that thing was, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, not that I got run over. I was saying, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, my back's going to stop hurting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, Big Bertha's coming out of this wreck. That was the name I gave to my suitcase. I called my suitcase Big Bertha because it took too big. I pulled and pulled and pulled through the wreck and finally got my suitcase out of there. You're not keeping my suitcase. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I wanted my toiletry bag. I wanted my stuff. All right. Start praying thank you, Jesus prayers. Number 7. Last one. You learn anything?
Yes.
Be bold. Number 7. In the receiving phase, be bold to step out and receive your miracle. Do what is necessary to get the fish in the boat. Can I use that analogy? Be bold to step out and receive your miracle. Do what is necessary to get the fish, and I'm referring to your miracle as the fish, in the boat. I've told you this many times. My daddy was a fisherman. He loved to fish. And so many times I'd be fishing with my dad, and I can remember one of us would catch, you know, a nice fish, and maybe it was a bass. And man, it's just like the pole was straining. The line, you could tell, was taut. It was just about to snap. So you'd give it a little run, wear it out a little bit, get it over to the boat. You'd look at it, go, oh my, look at that fish. Look how big that fish is. In those kind of cases, my dad would say, get the net, get the net. I'd be scrambling across there, trying not to turn the boat over, you know, get the net. And I'd reach over there, and just very gently, I'd reach under and scoop it up. Everybody say, scoop it up. That's the way miracles are. I am telling you, you've got to do what it takes to get the fish in the boat.
Amen.
Angela, when you got your horse, that horse just showed up on your doorstep one day, didn't it? I mean, there wasn't nothing to it. You just prayed one night, and the next day, I mean, it was like, there it was. No. We kind of followed Angela through that miracle. Research on the internet, phone calls, deposit, down to the very last wire, believing for that horse. And now the horse, is it still up in Rome? Do you have the horse up near Rome? Up near Rome, she's got her horse. And you say, well, you know, I don't know that I'd want a horse. Well, if you don't like horses, that's not your miracle. But Angela, that's her hobby. She loves horses. God honored that. She did what it took to get the miracle into the boat. Most Christians, and I'm going to finish with this. Most Christians, when it comes to the faith walk, the only thing they picture as part of the faith walk is just some kind of a mystified look on your face, maybe a glow, you know, if you've really been walking with the Lord, and you just kind of release something to God, and then it's just supposed to show up. They don't have the kind of faith we just read about these guys who get there and, well, that way is not working. We'll find a way. We'll find a way. We believe it's God's will to heal Fred. We believe that our friend should be walking and not paralyzed. And I'm sure he had a bunch of religious people telling him, well, the reason you're like this is because, you know, you lusted one time in your heart when you were a kid. Put some kind of condemnation on the guy. No, no, we just believe Jesus is a good Jesus. We believe Jesus is a good God. We're going to get Fred there. And, you know, he probably did lust when he was a kid. We all lust. We're going to get him on the roof anyway. Praise God. Break the roof off. Drop him down in there. And here he comes. Down through the roof, and the rest we know, Jesus healed him. Amen?
Amen.
Look back at your handout one last time. Roman numeral 1, the claiming phase. If you don't have the tapes, you need to get the tapes on that. Roman numeral 2, the waiting phase. learning how to wait, learning about the keys of character that are being developed there. And Roman numeral 3, the receiving phase, notice what's in the box. I will expect, in the box there, I will expect a harvest of miracles. Praise God. Father, we thank You for what You're teaching us about receiving our miracle. Let's stand to our feet. Begin to thank God for the revelation of it. Lift your hands to God.